This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for April 21st through May 4th, 2007. The long-awaited National Unity Government is facing threat of being dissolved as a result of its inability to end the economic blockade. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with nonviolent protests in Palestine. We focus on Belin and Ramallah, which saw protests against the separation wall and commemorations of the International Workers' Day. IMEMC's Erez Gudes has more.
In their ongoing weekly protests, local villagers of Belin, near the central West Bank city of Ramallah, were joined with international and Israeli peace activists who marched together against the Israeli separation wall built illegally on their village land. This week's protest was dedicated to Palestinian workers in conjunction with Labor Day. Protesters raised signs demanding freedom of the press and support of local and international journalists working in the region. They called for the immediate release of the kidnapped BBC reporter Alan Johnston. Demonstrators took to the streets and marched through the village up to the gate of the wall, which separates the villagers from their land. Before arriving at the gate of the wall, protesters were met with the Israeli soldiers. Katie, an activist with the International Solidarity Movement, was in Belin.
Well, they tried to shut down the demonstration before it really even started. They had razor wire across the road to the walls. They did start firing tear gas and rubber bullets at us, like, while we were standing in front of this, like, razor wire fence they put across the road.
Soldiers also fired sound grenades and tear gas at the protesters, injuring three Palestinians, including two children. Several severe cases of gas inhalation were reported by medical sources in the village. Witnesses also reported that some olive trees caught on fire after tear gas canisters landed in the olive grove. The fires were quickly extinguished by local residents. On Thursday, midday, Palestinian villagers from Ras Karkar and Al Ghania villages near the central West Bank city of Ramallah, along with Israeli and international supporters, removed an Israeli military roadblock on the main road between the villages and the city of Ramallah. This roadblock was installed by Israeli army 7 years ago and disconnected the villagers from the city of Ramallah. The army said that the roadblock was to protect a nearby illegal Israeli settlement. The villages of Ras Karkar and Al Ghania went to the Israeli court and won a ruling against the army, but the army refused to comply with the court ruling to open the road for the local Palestinians. Instead, troops continued to force people to use another indirect road to reach the city of Ramallah in order to bypass the Jewish settlement, adding an additional hour of travel to what used to take 10 minutes. The protesters reached the roadblock and tried to remove it. The Israeli army arrived at the scene and tried to stop the peaceful protesters. Eyewitnesses told IMEMC that the army also started to provoke local youth, but the organizers managed to keep the protest peaceful. In the end, the local youth managed to remove the roadblock, and Palestinian cars managed to drive on the previously closed road once again. The Israeli commander who was at the scene told media sources that the army will close the road again soon. Mohammed, one of the local organizers, told IMEMC that the people in the village are thinking of making this action a weekly action in order to keep the road open. Among the people protesting was the Palestinian Minister of Information, Mustafa Al-Barghouti, who said that this action today is the start of a campaign to target all the illegal Israeli army checkpoints and roadblocks in the West Bank. For IMEMC, this is Erez Gudes.
The residents of Bethlehem, who launched the Stop Bleeding of Bethlehem campaign weeks ago, have organized nonviolent actions this week. Some 200 peaceful demonstrators in Bethlehem protested on Friday against the construction of the annexation wall in the village of Wadi al-Nis. The demonstration included mostly Palestinian workers, in addition to international peace activists and observers, to commemorate Labor Day on May 1st. A large number of Israeli soldiers stopped the demonstrators who carried signs demanding an end to the construction of the wall, which is annexing a very wide agricultural area to Israel. Troops prevented the demonstrators from reaching the construction site and attempted to arrest one of the protesters. However, other demonstrators managed to release him before he was taken by the soldiers. The protest started with the Friday prayers being held in the village close to the confiscated land. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, Minister of Information, and a number of parliament members, in addition to the governor of Bethlehem, Mr. Salah Al-Tamari, joined the action. Dr. Barghouti spoke to the crowd, and he quoted the Minister of the Interior of South Africa, who was visiting Bethlehem just before the action. He said that the apartheid system Israel is making will fall, just as it fell in South Africa.
It is shameful for Israel to suppress nonviolent peaceful movement. It is shameful that they are building this wall which is eating our land and creating ghettos and prisoners. We will be free, like South African people became free, like Algerian people became free. I had with me just a minute ago a minister from South Africa, the Minister of Internal Affairs, who demonstrated with us near the wall in Bethlehem. And he said, I assure you, you the people who fight for your freedom, that eventually you will prevail. Peace will prevail. Freedom will prevail. And like the South African apartheid system fell down, the apartheid system here in the occupied territories by Israel will fall down.
Several other local leaders spoke, including Shaher Saed, head of the Union of Palestinian Workers, who emphasized that the construction of the wall is not for security. Rather, it's to increase poverty in Palestine by separating Palestinians from their main source of income. Samir Jaber, one of the organizers of the event, said this nonviolent action in Wadi al-Nis is part of the Stop the Bleeding of Bethlehem campaign, which was launched 2 weeks ago with the goal of mobilizing the people of Bethlehem to resist the various forms of Israeli occupation, including the wall, settlements, military checkpoints, and roadblocks. On Saturday morning, Palestinian, Israeli, and international peace activists accompanied a Palestinian farmer to his land near Al-Qadr village in the southern West Bank Bethlehem district. Their intention was to plow the agricultural land in preparation for planting crops. However, the land is being occupied by an illegal Israeli settler. The settler is a convict who has been permitted by the Israeli court to spend the remainder of his sentence there. The land in question is the center of a complex situation. Recently, the Israeli settler named Hanan was charged with the attempted robbery of a bank in Israel. The Israeli court sentenced him to 8 years in prison, 6 of which he has served. However, the convict suggested to the court that he, quote, imprison himself for the remaining 2 years in an illegal settlement outpost on Palestinian land instead. Bizarrely, the court agreed. Later in the week on Friday, a massive group of Israeli settlers attacked Palestinian farmers while working on their lands that are close to the illegal settlement post. A small force of Israeli police were seen at the scene when settlers attacked the farmers with rifle butts and batons. Police officers tried to move the settlers away, but they attacked and assaulted the police officers. On Saturday, Palestinian farmers, along with international and Israeli peace activists, were protesting Israeli theft of Palestinian land in Yatta, a village located south of Hebron in the West Bank. The nonviolent demonstrators were violently attacked by 200 illegal Jewish settlers, accompanied by soldiers. Their goal is to annex the land to the nearby settlement of Sosia. Local Palestinian police reported that some of the farmers sustained bruises after settlers attacked them with rifle butts and batons. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh warned Thursday of dissolving his coalition government if the U.S.-led economic and political embargo remains in place. Haniyeh was quoted as saying that forming another coalition is not an option now. The only option is dissolving the current government. The Prime Minister's statement came amidst Arab and international calls to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to call for early elections in a bid to end the economic siege. Earlier this week, Hamas's exiled political leader Khaled Mashal warned of a third intifada within the next 3 months if the international boycott continues. Top Palestinian negotiator Dr. Saeb Erekat also warned this week of a potential collapse of the Palestinian National Authority unless the Hamas-led coalition government manages to end the embargo and contain internal unrest. Earlier in the week, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas voiced optimism that the embargo would be lifted gradually. Abbas's remarks came after a 7-country European tour to garner support for the coalition government. On Thursday, however, he said he too might be forced to resign if the sanctions are not lifted. Palestinian Interior Minister Hani al-Khawazmi, tasked with trying to assuage the internal civil unrest, also renewed his threat to resign on Tuesday, unless cooperation with security officials, loyal to the rival Fatah party, improves. Al-Khawazmi threatened to resign 2 weeks ago, but his resignation was rejected by the Palestinian Authority. Ghazi Hamad, spokesman of the Palestinian Unity Government, said earlier this week that his government is interested in a sustainable ceasefire with Israel, following further deterioration of the security situation in the last few weeks. But the Israeli military announced it was planning a ground offensive on the Gaza Strip under the pretext of cracking down on the Palestinian resistance's homemade rocket fire. Meanwhile, the Arab Quartet, comprised of Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, will meet in Egypt's Sharm el-Sheikh resort. They hope to divine mechanisms that can help reactivate the Arab peace proposal of 2002. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to urge the Arab Quartet for further promotion of the Arab initiative, even though Israel has refused it. The Arab Initiative calls for full Israeli withdrawal from occupied Arab lands, in compliance with United Nations resolutions, including withdrawals from Syria, Lebanon, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem. It also calls for Israeli recognition of Palestinian refugees' right of return. In exchange, Israel could enjoy a full normalization of relations with its 22 surrounding Arab countries. Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Levni has called for the resignation of Israel's Prime Minister Ehud Olmert following the release of the Winograd Commission, which gave Olmert an F for his handling of the Lebanon war last summer. She was joined by a chorus of Israeli political figures, including Israeli opposition Likud leader Benjamin Netanyahu. Minister of Defense Amir Peretz and former Israeli Army Chief of Staff Dan Halutz were also heavily criticized for Israel's failure to achieve any of its goals during the war. 100,000 Israelis protested in Tel Aviv demanding Olmert's resignation, while Haaretz published a poll citing 68% of Israelis want him out. Olmert has so far refused to resign, saying he would rather stay in office to fix his mistakes. Meanwhile, Palestinian Deputy Prime Minister Azam Al-Ahmed expects that the ongoing political standoff in Israel, in light of the Winograd report, will have a negative impact on Palestinian-Israeli peace talks. Three resistance fighters said to be with Islamic Jihad were ambushed in a car near the West Bank city of Jenin late Friday night. Witnesses told IMEMC that an undercover Israeli army unit using Palestinian cars shot at the moving vehicle, injuring all three passengers. Immediately following, the undercovers moved in and assassinated all three at point-blank range. This week, the Israeli army conducted at least 28 military invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. 55 Palestinian civilians were kidnapped, including 6 children and 1 woman. This brings the total number of Palestinians kidnapped by the Israeli army in the West Bank this year to 1,062. IMEMC's George Rishmawi has more.
Israeli forces invaded villages and searched homes in the southern West Bank city of Hebron and nearby villages of Beit Umar and Ithna on Wednesday. 1 civilian was injured and another 3 kidnapped by the invading troops. Ibrahim Atmezi, 40, was shot and injured when Israeli soldiers opened fire at him during the invasion into Ithna village. Medical sources reported that the man suffered a moderate wound in his leg and was moved to a nearby hospital for treatment. Also on Wednesday, a massive Israeli army force accompanied by a military bulldozer invaded the city of Jenin and the Jenin refugee camp, both located in the northern part of the West Bank. Israeli troops kidnapped 4 civilians while the bulldozer chased 2 Palestinian journalists covering the event. The bulldozer apparently tried to run the journalists over. They escaped only to be met by Israeli troops who forced them to leave, prohibiting them from reporting the invasion. On Tuesday, Israeli troops stationed at Karandia checkpoint, located near the central West Bank city of Ramallah, attacked a Palestinian labor union demonstration that was organized for the International Workers' Day. The soldiers aggressively used rifle butts, batons, and tear gas to attack the peaceful protesters. Palestinian medical sources reported that several people were injured, including Mahmoud Khalifa, a member of the labor union, and the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Israeli soldiers used batons against Palestinian Member of Parliament Qais Abdul Karim and the cameraman working for Dubai TV. The demonstration was organized in commemoration of Labor Day in an attempt to highlight the insufferable unemployment rate and sanctions which are actually exacerbating the crisis. And on Monday, a group of Israeli settlers attacked and ransacked Al-Aqtab Mosque and the nearby Islamic Waqf offices in the southern West Bank city of Hebron. The settlers, under the protection of the Israeli army, stormed the 2 Muslim sites, took all the furniture out onto the street, saying they will burn it all during a coming Jewish holiday. Al-Aqtab Mosque and the nearby Islamic Waqf offices have been closed by the army for the last 5 years. The army forbids Palestinian residents from praying in the mosque while simultaneously allowing Israeli settlers to attack it. The settlers plan on turning the mosque into a synagogue. In other news, the Joint Operation Unit of Al-Aqsa Brigades, the armed wing of Fatah, and Al-Quds Brigade, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad, claimed responsibility for detonating an explosive device near an Israeli army unit near Jenin on Tuesday, causing no injuries. For IMEMC, this is George Rishmawi.
On Wednesday, the Israeli army fatally shot a Palestinian civilian and kidnapped his brother in the northern part of the Gaza Strip on Wednesday. IMEMC's Ghassan Banoura has more.
Mas'oud Subih, a Beit Lahia resident in the northern Gaza Strip, was shot with multiple live rounds in the head by the Israeli troops stationed near the supposedly evacuated settlement of Elay Sinai. The troops then kidnapped his brother, according to witnesses. Palestinian medical teams managed to retrieve the man's body and take it to Kamal Adwan Hospital. Three Palestinian resistance fighters were also killed on Saturday by Israeli army gunfire, according to Palestinian medics in Gaza. A statement faxed to reporters by Hamas-linked Al-Qassam brigades confirmed that three of its fighters were killed by Israeli fire while they were on a jihad mission. Earlier this week, Israeli army officials announced that they would crack down on Palestinian homemade shells being fired on Israeli targets from Gaza. Last November, both Israelis and Palestinians agreed to a ceasefire in Gaza, but Hamas recently announced the ceasefire in jeopardy following Israelis' killing of a dozen people in the last few weeks, including shooting a 17-year-old girl in the head as she looked out her window. Israeli troops stationed on the Palestinian-Israeli border in the northern part of the Gaza Strip also opened fire at Palestinian farmers working their land on Thursday afternoon. In a statement issued Tuesday, the Fatah-linked Aqsa Brigades said that several of its resistance fighters survived an attack Tuesday morning by an Israeli drone to the east of Gaza City. The statement admits that the group was preparing to launch homemade shells near the Nazal Oz Israeli military crossing point when attacked with a missile from Israeli drone. For IMEMC, this is Ghassan Barnoura.
Civil unrest continues this week in Palestine. Unknown gunmen kill one woman in the Gaza Strip and injure a seven-month-old baby. IMEMC's Rami Al-Makari reports from Gaza.
Unknown gunmen fired randomly near residents' homes in the Jebali refugee camp in northern Gaza Strip on a Friday. One of their stray bullets hit and injured a seven-month-old baby, Shahid Ismail. The child was critically wounded and moved to a nearby hospital for treatment, medical sources in the Gaza Strip reported. The sources also said that a woman from the Khan Yunis city was shot and killed by unknown gunfire on Thursday. Raghda Al-Ghalaini, 24, died instantly after being shot while walking in the street. Palestinian Minister of Interior Hani Al-Kawasmi renewed his threat to resign on a Tuesday unless cooperation with security officials loyal to the rival Fatah party improves. Al-Kawasmi threatened to resign 2 weeks ago, but his resignation was rejected by the Palestinian Authority. Six Palestinian family members were reportedly wounded on Monday evening in the Gaza Strip city of Khan Yunis, medics said. The injured were hurt during family clashes in the city, but no one was seriously injured. Meanwhile, several families whose sons are being held in Egyptian jails attempted Sunday to break into the Egyptian representative's office in Khan Yunis, demanding the release of their sons. The detainees' families have been holding a sit-in in a tent in front of the Egyptian representative's office over the past few days. A similar event occurred yesterday in front of the Egyptian embassy in Gaza City, where tens of angry family members, whose sons are also held by Egypt, forcibly broke into the embassy. Security forces held them back by force. Also in Khan Yunis, a Palestinian public sector tried to commit suicide on Monday by throwing himself from a window of the city municipality building. The act was in a protest of not being paid his salary by the Palestinian government. The municipality stated that the man entered the mayor's office at around midday, opened a window and tried to jump. Other fellow employees and some of his friends rushed to him and after several hours convinced him not to jump. On the same day, scores of angry teachers stormed the Ministry of Information located in the central West Bank city of Ramallah. The teachers stormed the building after the Education Minister, Dr. Nasser al-Din al-Shaar, refused to meet them. Earlier, they had a protest in Ramallah demanding their salaries and chanting anti-Palestinian government slogans. In other news, two Palestinian negotiators, Saeb Erekat, slammed the Hamas-led government on Wednesday for its failure to secure the release of BBC reporter Alan Johnston, who has been held hostage in Gaza for 52 days. In an interview with the Voice of Palestine radio, Ricardo claimed the government knows Johnston's whereabouts. Alan Johnston, the veteran BBC reporter, was kidnapped by unknown group outside his home in Gaza on March 12. Johnston's captivity is the longest endured by a foreign journalist or aid worker in Gaza over the past 3 years. For IMEMC, this is Rami Al-Mighari.
On Tuesday, the Union of Palestinian Teachers called for a massive demonstration in front of the Palestinian Legislative Council buildings in both Ramallah and Gaza City to demand their salaries. The teachers went on strike on Wednesday to pressure the government to commit to its contracts with its workers. Some teachers complained that they do not even have enough money to pay for the transportation needed to reach their schools, even if they wanted to work. Since March 2006, more than 165,000 state employees have not received regular salaries as a result of the U.S.-led embargo, which froze foreign aid to the Palestinian Authority. And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, this is Anna Noguera.